We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God. Be revived.
So this morning I have something very simple and pastoral for us. So the first thing I want to, you know, based on what I've said, you know, I've been ruminating and then thinking, I've been so joyous, you know, in this last week. And why am I so joyous? Just thanking God for light, for understanding. You know, when we were doing Thanksgiving, I said, just imagine your life without the word. Just imagine the kind of person you will be. Some of you can even become terrorists. You don't even know what you can be. As I'm just trying to tell you, as in without the word. You know, I try to imagine my carnal nature, not having the word to tame it. Oh my God. As in I was just thanking God. I said, God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that is washing, that is cleansing, that is changing. You know? So and in this season, I want us to have that heart of gratitude. You know, when we are coming to hear the word, we need to be grateful to God, though. Imagine if there is no light, how messed up your life will be. You might be in natural, you might think, oh, maybe I'll be better, I'll have more money. But your soul would have been rotten. You have been a terrible person. You know, it's the word that washes and cleanses us, that has made, you know, you've made my life so beautiful. The only reason why our soul is becoming beautiful is because of the word. And we must ever be grateful to the Lord for the word that he keeps bringing to us. Because the word, you know, and I was thinking, God, thank you for the word, for changing. God was not telling me, said, God is, that there's a reason why God keeps bringing his word to us. And the reason, one of the reasons, is because the Lord himself is committed to his eternal purpose. There's an eternal purpose of God. God wants a place of rest. And you see, that place of rest is also, it's not one building. Sure, you know, no pastor has taught us. That place of rest is who? God's people. And you see, God cannot have that place of rest if he doesn't make, he has to build us into that place of rest. And one instrument that the Lord uses to build is his word. Say his word. So God is committed to giving his word. And this is why he's committed to that. He keeps bringing light, bringing all of those things. Yes, it's because he's committed to that what? Eternal purpose of having a place of rest, of having a people that can carry his image, full image and his full likeness. Amen. Amen. So God brings that because he's committed to that eternal purpose. Let's look at Psalm 132 from verse 13 to 18. And so he makes those provisions available. He makes lights. Then for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for what? His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. You know, if you look at, as I said, that, you know, God, all this present earth, even the present heaven, is not God's final destination. He said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. He didn't call any one of them. At the heaven or at the earth, he didn't call it his place of rest. He didn't call it his place of dwelling. You know, like Pastor would say, heaven is my throne. It's just the place, is the office where they're administering all the processes that will bring about his eternal rest. So thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? So that means that the current heaven is not his place of what? Rest. And the earth is not what? His place of rest. So can we go back to that place? So, for the Lord has chosen Zion, that is desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. And so because of this, that is what now brings verse 15. It said, I will abundantly do what? Bless our provision. I will satisfy our poor with what? Bread. Can you take me back to Isaiah that we just read? I want you to see something there. It said, verse 2, it said, where is the place of my rest? Now see what is wrote in verse 2. Say, for all those things my hands has made, that's the heaven and the earth. And all those things, they just exist. They are not eternal. They are not his final place. They are not his eternal place of rest forever. So something can exist, but it is not what? Eternal. Say, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But, so describing what he wants, say, but on this one will I look. He didn't say on this place. So that means his place of rest is a people. Say, but on this one will I look. These are the people I will, when I'm not thinking about my rest, about my eternal place of rest, then what we begin to consider is this. I will begin to consider on him who is what? Poor. And what? Of a contrite spirit. And who trembles at my word. So, that I'll begin to look means I'll begin to consider. We begin to pay attention that this is a potential what? Place of rest. So, you can see those people. Poor. Of a contrite spirit. And who what? Trembles at my word. Because it is that word that they will use to construct that place of what? Rest. So can you take me back to Psalm 132? So he now said in Psalm 132, this is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will what? Abundantly bless our provision. I will do what? Satisfy our poor. You know, Isaiah said, these are the people I will look unto, those that are poor. Of a contract. That poor means people that are hungry. They are hungry to become. It's not, I'm not talking about poverty natural. I'm talking people that are poor. That they know that they need God. That they want to become that place of rest. Those are the people I will now begin. Said, I will now bless their provision. There's not something he begins to provide for them. Said, I will satisfy our poor with what? With what? Bread. Verse 16, I will also clothe our priests with what? Salvation. And our saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make a horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my. That lamp talks about light. So there will be bread. There will be light. There will be provision. These are the things that will now bring this kind of people to become what? His eternal place. His enemies I will clothe with shame. But upon himself, his crown shall do what? Flourish. These are enemies, the enemies of God. Death. Things about corruption. The Lord will bring, he will make them of growth. As he brings bread, as he blessed their provision. And those provision are words. What did I say? Now, when he was describing that those people in Isaiah 66, he said that those that are what? Poor and of a contrite heart. He said, who trembles at my word? Those are the kind of people the Lord begins to consider to now bless provisions, provide things that are able to do what? To build them. Say, to build them. So what am I trying to say? When God begins, you know, one of the things I know that we are blessed people, you might not have 2 million in your accounts. You might not be riding a Ferrari. You might not be having, you might not have buildings in Lekki. But one reason why I know that you are blessed is that the kind of words that the Lord is bringing to us. What did I say? Words that are able to build you up and give you what? An inheritance. When the Lord, you know, in his mercy, allows your ears to hear, to say, blessed are your ears. To hear such is when you begin to hear such kind of provisions. Say such kind of provisions. So there's a kind of provisions that builds up a people into God's dwelling place. When you begin to have those kind of provisions, you should consider yourself what? Blessed. Say, I am blessed. So don't allow Satan to deceive you and say, oh, poor. Oh, new woman told that you don't even have money to come to church. See what your life has reduced to. Your life has not reduced to anything. Your life is getting upgraded. Upgraded to become what? God's dwelling place. Yeah. So have a blessing on your ears for the hair and your ears for the hair. You know, so this is blessing. Say blessing. And you must see the truth, because many times Satan will come to want to make you despise these things. He wants you to say, you know, is this a second question? I was talking about, we do not look at our earthly vessels. That even though our earthly vessels, things on this earth, you know, my first question, said, but we know that there is something being worked. Therefore, we do not lose that. Even though our heart, what man is what? perishing. Yet the inward man is being what? Renewed what? Day by day. Say day by day.
Day by day.
Day, by day. So some people that complain. What is it? And we hear what? On Monday, we come do this. Tuesday, we do this. Wednesday, what again? Thursday, we have come again. Friday, I have come again. Say, household. Saturday, there's no meeting. Even in meeting, they'll preach the word again. Sunday, when are we going to rest? The provision they have made for you to be an eternal dwelling place is day by day. Tell me, but say it's day by day.
Day by day.
Oh, I can't hear you say it is day by day.
Day by day.
You know, when we're talking about salvation in Psalm 68, and they talked about your God. Say, for the Lord our God is the God of our salvation. You know, what they said, blessed be the God who daily loads us. With what? Those benefits are provisions. Say, tell me, but say provisions. Say benefits. Blessed be the Lord who daily. They didn't say weekly. They didn't say monthly. They said what? Daily. Loads us with benefits. The God. So the God that loads you daily is a God that wants to give you salvation. The God of what? Our salvation. Our God is the God. Oh, this God that makes the God's expression. You know, people, different people have different expression of God to them.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they believe that God, no matter what they do, about father way they pamper. That their own God, that's the expression of God to them. Some people, their own God is my baby, you know. That the God just wants them to be. God wants them to be the way they are. That is their own expression of God. And it is fine. No, I was telling Pastor this. I said, God has a big heart.
Right.
I said, the way God accommodates everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, what kind of heart that does God have? I said, the way God accommodates everybody at different levels. And God will still relate with you. And you will feel like the best in this world. I said, you know that I said, if you go to all these other mountains, people are looking for miracle. They don't know, even Muslims go, they don't care about God. They just, I said, the way God will still relate with them, God will even do those things for them. I said, God is so bent. I said, He has a very large, and yet there's something that God really wants ultimately for everybody. And yet, if you don't want it, He will still relate. Not if it is me. If you don't want it, I want. My God, you for money, oh, serious. I would say, I know, but so no, God. God has, oh my God, God has a very, I don't know how His heart is so, He's so large to accommodate. So we're saying that the kind of, but our own God though, the way God is relating with us, His expression towards us is the God of what? Salvation. What He wants to do is to give us salvation, make us as saved. As He is saved, undefiled, not fading away, incorruptible.
Amen.
And you see, that expression might be different from someone that is not taking salvation.
Yeah.
Can you take me back to that scripture? Our God. So that God that daily loads us with benefits. Our God is the God of salvation. And to this God, who is the Lord, belongs what? Escapes. So the way this God relates with us, those daily benefits, you know what those daily benefits does? It empowers us to be able to do what? Escape death. Say escape death.
Escape death.
I know that we have talked about that. Death is not just only when you come. Death is anything that can make you corruptible. Things that can make you torn. This can make you defiled. This can make you fade away. So they said that in this God, in that daily, in the expression of His daily benefits to us, what does He do? He empowers us. You know, it's like everybody is subjected to the law of gravity. You know, like Pastor would say, if you like confess from now to tomorrow, anything that goes up, we come down. But you know that there is something that escapes the law of gravity. That is the plane. When plane is flying, they stay up there. Why? Because there's another law at work, which is called what? The law of lift. So because of that law of lift, it can escape the law of what? Gravity. So he's telling us that when the Lord begins to, the expression of God to us as the God of salvation, daily, Lord, they don't say daily giving us, so daily what? Loading us with benefit. It's for one thing, say one thing.
One thing.
To escape death.
Yeah.
You know, men has come. Death. No, if in Hebrews, we're talking about priests. Said those priests, they were prevented by death. But I'm not talking about the high priest, Jesus Christ. Said many priests, they came. They came, but they were prevented by death. We're not talking about Jesus as the high priest forevermore. He could not be stopped by death. He escaped death. Say he escaped death. Say many priests, they came and look for that scripture in Hebrews. Many priests, they came, but they were prevented. They were stopped. They could not continue because of death. Say, but it was not describing Jesus. Now, Jesus was not like those other priests. He could not be stopped by death. He actually escaped death. And that is the same thing he wants to minister to us. He wants to minister those things that can make us what? Escape death. Men as what? Also, there were many priests. Because they were prevented by death from what? Continuing. But he, because he what? Continues forever. Say continues forever. Has an what? Unchangeable priesthood. So those things that made him continue forever is what he wants to give us. Because death has held people down. Death has prevented people. Really. Death has stopped people. Even let us bring it to him. You see a good minister. You know, like I said, called. Genuinely called. Received calling. And then along the line, death comes in. Changes his, maybe fame or money. Something will just change his focus. Say death. Say death. So many different expressions of death. And you see all this clamoring in the church. People not being able to keep covenant. You know, sometimes you can't even see. When you see an anointed minister, you see a young minister, another pastor, that is really anointed. And then all of a sudden, he begins to fight publicly with his senior pastor. Why is it that church is always fighting? Why is it that there's always fight between senior pastor and another pastor? Say death. Did Jesus fight with the Father? Said he did not call it what? He should have come to the earth and Father is telling you, say, is it not the same grace that we have? I can also start my own. Be following your own eternal pursuit. Me too, I now have my own eternal pursuit that I want to run with these people. But death could not prevent him. Say death.
Yes.
So many things that have stopped men, that have corrupted men. So many things. But he said, by God daily loading us with benefits, understanding, light. You know what all those things are doing? They are empowering us to escape what? Death. Say escape death.
Escape.
Say that to God the Lord belongs what? Escapes from death. So they need to be loading us daily. Because the program of death is also a daily program. It is everywhere. Not just like about Matrix. It is everywhere. It's in your room. It's at your work. It's everywhere. So they need to keep daily loading us with laws of life, with light, with words to empower us so that we cannot come to a place whereby we live above these things. Amen. So one of the reasons, sometimes if you now look at a church and maybe you see some believers say, why is the church like this? You know, one of the reasons why, if you maybe you look at the general church, one of the reasons why you might compare, why is the church like this? Why is the church doing this? You know, you see some things and like, you know, why is the church like this? One of the reasons is because there is no word. It's the word. Why did I say? It's the quality of, see, you are not higher than the quality of what you are hearing. You are not what? Higher than the quality of word that you are hearing. If you want to raise quality, imagine all those army that pastor was describing on Thursday, we cannot become that army if they don't bring the kind of words that can build such army. Can we look at Acts chapter 20? And let's start from verse 31. So now, brethren, let's start from verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 solid years, say 3 solid years, I did not cease to warn everyone. What? Night and what? Day. Say 3 solid years.
Three solid years.
So you see, Paul committed doing solid three good years, space of 3 years, night and day, he was laboring over this book. Say, so now, brethren, I commit you to God and to the word of grace, which is able to do what? Build you up. And what? Give you an inheritance among all those who are satisfied. So if you play with the word of his grace, you are not going to be built up. You're not going to be built up to become his resting place. So it takes the word to build believers. So when you see weak believers, believers that cannot stand for truth, believers that cannot do this, don't be quick. One thing is lacking. Say one thing is lacking. Word of his grace. That is able to do what? Build up. Not just build up. Build what? Build up. Some people are building down. They are building here. You know, I used to make jest in my work. When they are working, I say, hey, so let me see what you are doing. So because now you say you have resumed 9, when it is 4:30, and I now check, you have written, what are you doing? I have written 4 pages, and then we now bring it. I say, hey, you bring a trailer of hay. We just cancel it. I say, nonsense, nothing collateral, only believe. So I used to make, I said, bring your work. Let me look at what you're doing. So that at the end of the day, your work will not be what? They have actually been building. They have been working. In fact, they've not seats. But by the time I look, I said, what is all this nonsense you have been doing? Say, go and start what? All over again. So people can be building, but not doing what? Building up. So we must be doing what? Building up. So the word is God's light that the Lord shines. Is an instrument of it. You see, what I want you to see this morning, one thing I want you to value this morning is that I want you to value God's word. Amen. I want you to see that your life, your life, you feel your life depends on money. It's not your life does depend on money. But really, your life does not depend on money. Your life depends on the word. Amen. That is what you need. You just need the word. On the word, that is what you need. If that is, you know, Pastor was, you know that thing. You need God, you know. One of the ways God gives himself, he gives himself through his word. You need the word. And it's not just sparingly. You need it in load. Say load. Load. They need to load you with the word. Load you. You know, that was like, we see in Matthew, when he said, when God was teaching the disciples, you know, Pastor taught us that it's not the Lord's prayer. It is the disciples' word, prayer. The disciples went to meet Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. And said in this manner, said that, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Said, give us this day our what? So we need daily bread. Say we need daily bread. I can hear you say we need daily bread. Tell anybody, say I need daily loading. I need daily loading of the word of his grace. That is the only way I can be built up to be an eternal place of rest. He's like saying that you want to be a computer scientist. You want to be coding. And you're not learning all the codes, how to code. You say, I'm a computer scientist, I can code. Oh, joke, go, cotton, shen, lo, fight, ton, go, couple, bang, one, codes, yeah. They say daily loading. They have to daily update you. They have to keep pumping things into you, preaching words to you. That is, when that begins to happen, then you are in the process. Then you know that really the end is what at you. But when that is not happening to you, the end cannot happen to you. Amen. So the word, one of the things that the word does, the word builds, the word washes us. It cleanses us from our ways. You know, one of the things the Lord is committed to bringing his word. He said it's one of the things the Lord wants, Jesus wants to do is to bring many sons into glory. Not few, say many. So this word, what God's eternal purpose is not just for a few or for a remnant. God's intention go, is that many, say many. So this word is for me. That's why we must keep publishing this word. We must keep publishing this word. God's intention. This is God's intention for every single person. Just imagine any color, any shade of humanity. This is God's intention for them. To come into glory, to become his eternal place of rest. So when the word comes, one of the things that the word does to us is to wash us. Say, wash us. And you see, like I said, the word determines, there's no building up without the word. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 31. I always love this scripture, Ezekiel 31 from verse 4. You know, talking about a great tree. You know, we're talking about, in Ezekiel, talking about a tree that grew so well. That tree became, when you get home, you can read it. It was so grown that birds of the air found shelter in it. You know, it was so big. But we're talking about this tree that grew up. You know, God wants to grow us to be trees of righteousness. I was talking to one of the artists message when I was talking about light. He said that people that can give light are actually trees of righteousness. Describing even natural trees that grow tall, their leaves grow well, then they can trap light. So that was why the tree that Adam and Eve had, you know, the tree of the tree of the Lord of good and evil, it was not a grass that they had. It was a tree. And because it was a tree, it could give light. It opened them into another realm. Entirely. Talking about trees, talks about developing. When we talk about exceeding great army, see that exceeding great army as a tree of righteousness. Someone that has been grown. Stature. So let's start from verse 3. Indeed, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon. We find branches that shaded the forest. And of what? High stature. And his top was among the thick boughs. Why? The waters made it what? Grow. It was the waters. What was the reason for this stature? Say waters. What gave him stature? What gave him height among the thick boughs was water. Said the waters made it grow. Underground waters gave it what? Height. You want height in the spirit? You need what? Waters. Say, with their rivers running around the place where it was planted and sent out rivulets to all the trees of the field. Let's go to verse 5. We're going to 7. Therefore, its height was what? Exalted above what? All the trees of the field. His boughs were what? Multiply. And his branches became long because of the what? Abundance of what? Water as it sent them out. So it had a lot of roots. So that root was able to trap lots of water. So someone said, this one is too much. It's only Sunday service in the country. I want to grow. I said, all these churches that are praying. I said, the reason why Christians are like this, 45-minute service, Omo can never make a tree of righteousness. 45 minutes in a week. Please let me multiply. How many minutes do we have in a day? 24 hours times 60. Somebody should help me do that calculation. Please let us even look at it. 24 times 60, one day. How many minutes? 1,440 times 7. 10,080, and then you now go for a service where you hear the word for 45 minutes. Please let me do the calculation. 45 over 1,000, over 10,080. What is that fraction? 0.00 something, Abby. If you approximate it, globally, zero. You know what they say? Approximate, you have 0.00. They say you should approximate it. It is equal to what? Zero. In a week, 45 minutes, just to hear God's word. Omo, like beer. Except you have another source of water. So therefore, its height was exalted above all the trees of the field. His boughs were what? Multiply. And his branches became long because of the what? Abundance of his water. As he said now. Verse 6. All the birds of the heavens. Talking about spirit. Why don't you have spirit-filled believers? People that can carry God's presence. If they give you tashera spirit, because you don't have stature. The God of Babalala, the anointing of Babalala, the anointing of Idaoza, I want it. God cannot give them. Gone are those days when God gave them. God cannot give them. God knows what they will use it to do. Oh, my merchandise here. So you want to carry spirit. Birds talk about spirit. Grow stature. Say stature. You know, when God loves you, God will not give you some anointings that are beyond your stature. Because those anointings can wreck you and kill you. I mean, you know, my daddy used to have one prophet. That prophet can see anything. And I mean, see anything. You know what they used to call him? Agbarapo. As in, I mean, this guy was highly prophetic. I've not seen anybody as prophetic as this guy. Very prophetic. He can trace issues in your life to your fourth generation beyond you. Now, this was, as in, very prophetic. He can tell you what will happen. I remember there was a time maybe they stole something. They were looking for something. And the guy told my dad, the people that stole it, how they stole it, where it is, and everything. As in, I'm telling you that how prophetic the guy is. As in, it was bad. He was in Ekiti. He was in a village. He used to come to our house, come and do vigil, then we pray, we do all that. No, he had a lot of prophetic whatever. So that was how Lagos people now began to minister. The people didn't know him before. Then, all of a sudden, I was just on there, just like that, the kid had the Barak Ponko. And I said, ah! And he went to Lagos. So that was how they finished him. So when he went to Lagos, he ministered to some people, and then those things helped those people. They not say, we thought this anointing are in this village in Lagos, and I'll take him to Lagos. When he saw, my daddy said, Obo ato birin won fi pa. He died though, was very young. He died less than 35 years. He just died. Daddy said, let me say it in English. From the strand of his hair to the nails of his foot, I was anointed. He said, but immediately he got to Lagos, he started impregnating people. He said there was money, there was everything. He said he just finished him. Even my daddy, that is, I don't know what I should call him. He said that. I don't know if my daddy is born again. I don't know. But even him, he knew. Finish here. But he said they used the money and women to finish. He said he just died. So sometimes the reason why God doesn't bring certain things, even certain money, you know, all those questions that Pastor Tao gave about billionaires, it will come to pass. So, but you see, before you can carry that billion, what if you're in stature? Because that billion can give you feet and you can drive away. The pastor will not be able to speak to you again. You know that some money makes some people misbehave if they have not worked in your soul. Oh, see, I think the word girl stop one. You are still poor now and proud. Now imagine if you are now rich. In the natural, you are poor, but you are very proud, you are stubborn. Nobody can talk. Your room is your roommate that will pay your transport to church. You are still very stubborn. When I correct you, say, kilo there. You are still, well, imagine when you have money. You will leave the place and go and rent a duplex. I even buy a duplex. What is wrong with that? Should I be living with brethren? Yes, now. Because there's no stature. Said, under his branches, all the beasts of this field brought forth their young, and in his shadow, all great nations made their home. Thus, it was beautiful in greatness, and in the length of his branches, because what? His root reached down to what? Abundant waters. So, everything about this tree's greatness is everything was because of what? Say waters. Say waters. So say stature. So they, you see, I found out it's not difficult for God to give people anointing, gifts, even natural blessings. But God is more particular about the prosperity of our soul. He wants us to know if we have that stature to bear those things, to carry those things. The stature, say stature. So, and it's the same thing also, because sometimes I've heard this, that she's like, madam, don't allow people to marry on time. You know that marriage has made some people go to hell. Yeah. I mean, hell fire. You know, some of you don't believe in hell fire. Hell fire is real. I'm telling you the truth. Marriage has turned some people to what they're not supposed to be. Have you seen people kill their spouses? I'm telling, as in the key, they literally payment the spouse. Not in the spirit, though, in the natural. So sometimes when they say stature, you see, you can be so bitter with your spouse that you will not even be able to hear God. You just shut down. Your walk with God just shuts down. You know that you're not coming to church, oh, you'll be coming to church, but you're just moving around the same mountain. No growth. Why? Because marriage. Say marriage.
Marriage.
So when they're saying, wait, it's not because, you know, like pastor said, I all of you are older than my daughter or my son. My son is not going to marry you. So don't be as if maybe I'm keeping you for my son. But say stature. Sometimes it's better for you to be built, to be able to undo some things. You see some men, he said, wait, son. You say, no, wait. You don't know what that sister is going to go through. Maybe she's going to wait for 20 years because you have a child. And you are somebody that is full of impatience. And God has seen those things. I am telling you, sometimes we are so full, we don't even know the helmets we have in our souls. That takes God building some level of stature in us to bear some things. Tell neighbor, say stature. Say waters. When they say sit down and hear the word, that's what they always say. They don't want somebody to progress. Say waters. To gain stature. Sometimes in the natural, you just delay you. My delay, you might not get a particular job for a while. And you just sit down. You know, when you don't cuckoo have job, you'll be coming for meetings. I'll be you not be coming. I'm not saying God is wicked, though. God is not a wicked God. But he knows what he's doing. During that period when you are hearing, you don't know the job that is waiting for you. It will be a job that will always test you. Your ability to stand for truth, that will not make you compromise. So that during that period, they're just loading you with enough stature so that you can bear some of the things that you... But you don't know, you just say, this God is wicked. See all my friends, we finished together. I was the one that used to take her to Toria when we were in school. She's married, she has children, she has good job. Me, I'm here, nothing. You don't know what God is working with you. You know, Pastor quoted one scripture yesterday when he was teaching us in whatever, talking about... Sometimes we don't know how God grows a baby in the womb. No, it is a mystery. Sometimes the workings of God in our eyes is a mystery. They have to make it mysterious like that. They even make it mysterious to you and to Satan. Because if Satan knows what he's doing, he can disturb that work. Said, as you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb, or how who is with child. So you do not know the works of God, who makes what? Everything. So sometimes you don't even understand God's dealings in us. Just works in a way that you might not be able to explain. But this is one thing I always tell people. I love this scripture. He said, God works all things together for good. On a condition. For those who do what? Love God. That's it. Once you have a love for God, even if you are stupid, you know, sometimes you make some stupid decisions, God knows how to work all those things together, what? For good. Amen. For those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God knows how to say, so what if I'm not making the right decision? Maybe this one I'm saying, maybe I'm supposed to be in London. Maybe that was out, but you're in Ibadan. God still knows how to walk Ibadan. As long as you love God and you are following his purpose, God knows how to walk all things. That is God's specialization. Say God's specialization. One thing you should just ensure. Two things. Make sure that you are loving God. You love it. I always say love God. I've told you it's not emotional. You love his word. You love his will. And you are pursuing that eternal purpose. Forget it.
Let me
Pastor Fire.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Learning, learn, learn, learn. I bring wisdom to you. I bring wisdom to you. I bring wisdom to you for you to know. For you to know. I make use of you to know the safety. The safety in learning my ways. The safety in staying on the course of learning my ways. The safety that is there in staying on the course of learning my ways. Setting your heart before me. Setting your affection seeking me. Loving me sincerely. Loving me to inherit my nature. Not loving me because you want to gain things from me. Loving me because of my nature. Loving me because of the hope of the gospel. Loving me because of inheritance is safety. Is safety. When you put your feet on that journey, on that path of loving me because of inheritance, oh, your life is secured. Your life is secured. Your life is secured. When you are on that path walking, coming to me, seeking to me, your life is secured. I do not have too many people that are seeking for me. I do not have too many people that are seeking for our plan and our purpose for mankind. For as many that choose to seek me, I will secure them. My eyes is all around them. My eyes is all around them. Oh, special ministering spirit around them. Around them, around them. You alanamosh te vegle nando si praste lanania. I will orchestrate your way. I will orchestrate your path. I will orchestrate your path. You are safe on that path. You are safe on that path. And I say to you this morning, I say to you, oh, set your gaze on me. Set your gaze on me. Oh, look for me for my nature. Look for me for the inheritance I have to give. Not for anything else. Not for anything else. Not for anything else. That is your safety of walking towards me, saith the Lord.
Amen. So one of the things that the word does, like we read in Psalm 68, is that God daily loads us with benefits. And you see, one of those, that word, when God is giving us word, you know, like we said, that tree, it gains stature because of waters, which is on the note, the word is always likened to water, the washing of the water by the word. So, one of the benefits, one of the things that the benefit does is that the benefits that the Lord brings to us through His word, He washes us, He cleanses us, He takes away our diseases. Say diseases. You know, disease means diseases, those things that don't make us at ease with God. That doesn't make us compatible a dwelling place for the Lord forever. You know, there are certain places the Lord cannot live in. God cannot live in a foundation. God cannot live in a house that does not have roof. You yourself cannot live there. So there's a kind of life that the Lord wants to make a dwelling place. So someone would say, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul. This is a soul that has received God's benefits. Hallelujah. Said, all that is within me. So this is not an adulterated soul. All that is within me. All that is within that person. Everything, all the workings. There is no darkness in that person. Everything within that person can give praise to the Lord. They say that, bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all His benefits. What did this benefit do? What did he do? He said, who forgives all your what? Iniquities. Who heals of what? Your diseases. So man has a lot of diseases in our soul. If they x-ray, if they show the spiritual state of our soul. Some souls, they are deaf. Some souls, they are blind. Some souls, they are dwarf. They've been around these waters. They're not growing. Their growth cannot be commensurated to the level of the word that they are receiving. Ever hearing, but not learning. So different kind of souls. Some souls, they are lame. Some souls, different kinds of diseases. Some souls, they are malicious soul. And what can hypocritical soul, niwa? All manner of diseases in the soul. But see, one of the things that's why it's not just one benefit, it is benefit. So those administrations, what they do is to take away all the, and you see, God cannot be at his. You know when somebody is at his? You know the way you are at his in your home? You know, in your home, you don't form. In your home, you are yourself. That is, God wants to be himself with us. There is nothing in us that is choking him. You know, many of us, we have all manner of instruments, all manner of chuku-chuku within us. God wants to take all those things away. He said, who heals your iniquities? Who heals all your, it's not just all manner of infirmities, your diseases, so that you can be what? We can be at ease with him. We can be his resting place. So those are the things that the benefits does. As those words come, they will be washing. They will be taking away all those what diseases and making us what at ease. Let's look at Luke chapter 1 from verse 71, I think, from verse 77. So to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the what? Remission. So salvation comes by taking away sins, taking away iniquities. So through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, that is light, from on high as what? Visitors. So you see, when you see that day spring, it comes as light. It comes, that's what I'm saying, that we should be thanking God every day. For us to be hearing these things, it is mercy. Tell neighbor, say it is mercy. You must see it as a blessing. If you don't see anything to thank God for, always thank God that I am hearing light. I am receiving light. I am hearing waters are coming to me. Thank you for your blessing. Said it is mercy. Said through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. To do what? To give light. To those who do what? Sit in darkness. You know, when we just take our tabernacle, we just have one perspective, and you take, oh, wakpa, until light now comes, you don't see that, I'm not a good person. I have, you know, many times, we don't even know our diseases. It takes light for them to shine light on us, to see that that's your nature, that thing that you call your own. Not just said all your righteousness are just like, what? Filthy rags before him. Your own righteousness, your own perspective. This is me, oh. Oh, this is me. This is the way I like doing my things. Until they bring light, sometimes not say that this your mean here is a disease. You know, we even glory in our disease. We glory in our darkness. That's what it means to sit in that as in what it tabernacles in darkness. He said, also sometimes you cannot even know that it is darkness until light comes. See, when you even know that you have problem, one of your problem is halfway solved. So to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow. So darkness and death, they are twins. So, and the shadow of death. You see the reason why benefit comes? Benefit comes to deal with death. To make you escape the death natures, malice, hypocrisy, fighting, all those things, covetousness. All those things are death attributes. Things that make you turn back. That when there is bad, you come and say, Kenny. You cannot stand with God on something. So when this light now comes, what it happens? Set to guide our feet into what? Into the way of peace. We now become what? At peace with God. So if light doesn't come, we will not be at ease with God. We cannot be at peace with God because there will be things in our life that are not compatible with the Lord. You know, it's just like if you have a laptop, maybe there's a particular voltage that your laptop can take. If you go and take one charger that has an higher voltage, what will happen to that laptop? Oh, my sooner, you might blow bomb. So for you to be compatible with God, at peace. God, not that God cannot relate with you. No, I've told you that there's a way God relates with everybody. That you can say the God of our salvation. God is at peace with you. You have become his resting place. You know, he's going to say, ah, my fellow, rest. Can your life be a place where God can rest? He's comfortable. Therefore, so to guide our feet into what? The way of peace. So those benefits are those what comes. It heals us of all those nature so that we can now become, guide us into the way of peace with the Lord. So the word heals. Tell neighbor, say the word heals. The word heals. I can't hear you. Say the word heals. The word heals. Both spiritual diseases and natural diseases. The word does what? Heals. It brings healing to our soul. It makes us sincere men. Heals us of every hypocrisy. Makes us of every darkness. He says, so you know the building in Revelation 21, when they're describing that building, they describe that building that it was crystal clear. Say crystal clear. You know, many times we have so many things in our life that doesn't make us crystal clear. Crystal clear means it is pure. You can see. Say, having this, was talking about the New Jerusalem. This is the building of God. He said, and he carried me away in the spirit to a greater and higher mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. God, that is that God's resting place. And in his description, one of the things that they used to describe it, said it was what? Clear as crystal. Say clear as crystal. Oh, may our soul become this. Our soul clear. No nonsense now. So it is clear, transparent. Rid of hypocrisy. Rid of every hidden works of darkness. Rid of insincerity. Rid of corruption. Say clear as crystal, transparent. Good thing that they want to know. So we have to make, so when we come to church, so say what is even is what is one of the things they come to do for you in church is to heal you of all your jagbadances of sickness. Somebody came to Jesus and said, those that are whole, they do not need the physicians. We need the physician. Say we need the physician. That's when you, so when you get born again, that is when the process of the work has started. You have been enrolled into the school of the spirit where they will treat you all of your spiritual sickness. Yeah. All the hypocrisy. You know, they need to, those are, you know, there's so many times, I don't expect that anybody should be fornicating or all those. But you know, most times, what we dote about in church, most times, even in the nursing home, fornication, some of those don't wear trousers. It's okay. We know there are some certain works that are bad. Things like hypocrisy. Say hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. If you see the way Jesus used to go after that thing, that's one of the reasons why Jesus ate. He could not even stand the Pharisees. You know that the Pharisees, what they were doing was just the law. Law of Moses knew, and it was God that even gave that law of Moses. But Jesus knew that they had hypocrisy. And Jesus was always going after them. He called them all manner of names. Vipers. Ajo. Brood of vipers. Because of what? Hypocrisy. Whitewashed sepulchre. So many of those kind of worthy words that Jesus used on them. And yet Jesus will see tax collector and he will be mild towards them. He will see somebody caught in, I'm not saying you should go and do adultery. See somebody caught in fornication and he will still, but he could not stand hypocrisy. Those are some of the things we must look into our life and be sure that we are rid of hypocrisy. Say hypocrisy. Say eye service. All of those things, they're all shades of hypocrisy. Those are things that God must rid us of. That we must allow the word to wash us and make us crystal clear. Lying. Say lying. Hey! You know, we don't do black lie. We just do it. There's a way you half-truth. Say half-truth. Just, when your pastor asks you something, just give them half-truth. You just lead them in a particular direction. What he hide another part. Say hypocrisy. This year, those are places you must allow God. We call it hidden works of dishonesty. That you must allow God to shine light into. To take away. Because those things will not make God at peace with us. They want us to be crystal clear. Rid of malice. Rid of hypocrisy. Rid of every works of darkness. Not handling the word of God what deceitfully. Motives of our heart for doing things. Why are you doing that thing? No, you can do something good that everybody will applaud you. Just like Ananias and Sapphira. They gave. Didn't they give? They did. But the motive behind it, you see, you move forward, you will now begin, you know, as everlasting light is shining, one of the things you begin to extreme motives. You will go after your motives. Why are you doing that thing? Is it so that people can know you? Is it to pepper them? You know, some of us, when you are dressing, you are not dressing because you want to look fine. In your mind, I want to pepper them. But nobody will see you when they see you dress. Nobody will see the pepper them inside. Same motives. Motives. God begins to go after motives. Motives of the heart. Motives of the heart. Why are you doing that thing? You want to outshine your brother. Why? So everybody is seeing you that. What is pushing you? So everybody say, even pastor, you praising you. What is it that you want to outshine someone? Same motives. Motives of the heart. God has to go after those. Let's look at Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4. Oh, time has gone. Matthew 6, 1. Take it that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have what? No reward from your Father in heaven. We know you can do something, but the reason why I do it is you are the ones doing it. You are the ones there. You are the faithful ones. Motives. You know, those are things that many times we don't see, but it is between you and God. God sees your hearts. So therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have what? Glory from men. When you want people to praise you, want pastor to praise you, when that is what you are seeking for, it's good for you to please your pastor, but that should not be your primary motive, glory of men. Assuredly, I said to you, you don't collect your reward. Let's look at another scripture. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Pastor said this in the morning. With fear and trembling. In what? Sincerity of heart. As to what? Christ. Not with eye service as what? Men pleasers. But as what? Bond servants of Christ. Doing the will of God what? From your hearts. So people can even be doing something that is like the will of God, but it's not from their heart. It is because they want to please men. So you must check our motives. Say, check your motives. Allow the word of the Lord to x-ray your motives. Amen. Amen. This must be done in sincerity and transparency. Don't lie. Don't lie to your brethren. Don't lie to your pastors. If you are a liar, you cannot inherit eternal life. Let me say it again. I don't say, people lie, yo. Believers tell lie, both white, brown, and black. Let's look at Proverbs 16:2. Yeah, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord was. So the Lord will test the spirits behind it. What is the motive? So that is what God looks at. So you see, when Samuel came to David's father's house, he saw all of them. Outwardly, had even chosen. But God said, me, I don't see that way. God weighs the spirits. He weighs the motive. What is the motive behind what that thing? So you must allow the word of God to do what? To wash us. Say, wash us. Must allow the word to wash the motive of our hearts. Let's look at Colossians 5:26. Let us not be conceited, provoking what? Envying one another. You know, that's stirring up your neighbors towards wrong things. You know, what is the reason why you're doing that thing? Is it to provoke your brethren? Is it to provoke, if you are working in a workplace, is it to provoke your boss? Is it to provoke your neighbor? We must check the motives. You know, all of these things. We must allow the word of God to wash our motives, you know, for doing things. Amen. Amen. So the word will be coming. So in this season, a lot of words are coming. And there are some certain attitudes, I want to quickly rush that I believe that we need to have towards the word. The first thing is that you must not loathe the word. Say, do not loathe the word. You know, that happened in the to the children of Israel. They did not like manna. They despised it. Their soul did not like it. That English said L-O-A-T-H-E-D. They loathed it as in they just despised it. And because of that, God was displeased with them. It stirred God's anger towards them. So we must not complain about the world. We must not have an attitude that despise. No, when he was looking at the place where we built, said, that trembles at my word. When you tremble at something, that means you value that thing. So when you have an attitude that does not value the word, I don't say I value the word. Valuing the word will show in your attitude, though. Sure. It will show in certain things. You cannot say you value the word. You don't listen to the word. You don't, when they are doing word, that's when you are doing something else and all that. All those things do not show that you love the word. It shows that, what? If you don't hear Tuesday or we hear Thursday, that's where they'll be saying it. You must not, in your heart, you must love and honor the word. Say love and honor the word. You must acknowledge the potential or the power of the word. What did I say? To transform life. You must actually acknowledge it. You must be able to sit down and see the word is working in my life. It is bringing change. These are the things it is doing. The word is washing me. And not say, I've not changed. If you're hearing it, I've not even become anything. Imagine if you did not hear anything. You say, I've not become it. I've just been hearing this day. I'm still the same. You are still the same, eh? Imagine if you did not hear anything. You're not even the same. I'm not just imagining that you know you'll be worse than this same. This is your same, but I say it's same. This is your same, is still better. Is this your same? It's still same. Because man that is not hearing the word keeps deteriorating every day. So even if they are still preserving, if you feel I've not changed to what I want to be, they're still preserving, it's still better than for you to be decomposing. Degenerating. So you must acknowledge the effect. Let's look at Philemon 1:6. So it's something that you must come. It's a nature that, because the devil will always come to come and let you see that the word does not do anything in your life. That has been one of Satan's tactics. You know that just like in football, when your opponents are coming to play in your home, in all these African countries, one of the tactics is that you want to make them suffer. You not put water in their hotel. You make them travel by road. You know, it has been an everlasting tactics. So that those other team, they will be tired to play well. You know, they've always done that. Satan also has an everlasting tactics. He will always tell you that you are not changing, that the word is not doing anything in your life. So anytime you hear that, you don't need the gift of the Spirit to know if it is Satan or self or it is me. It is Satan. I'm telling you now. What did I say? Say that the sharing of your faith may become what? Effective. By what? Acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in what? Christ Jesus. So you must be able to act. So the way the word becomes, one of the ways that the word becomes more effective, more potent in your life is by acknowledging that the word is working in your life. You must be able to sit down and have a critical evaluation and see that the word is working. Now, this is where I used to be before. This is where I am. Even though I've not reached where I'm supposed to be, but I can see that these are the things that the Lord has done in my life. By acknowledging that, the word becomes what? Potent. So that's one of the ways to fight enemy. When the enemy comes to fight you with condemnation, is to sit down and acknowledge that the word is working and I know I can get better. Because the path of the just does what? Shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect. So tell neighbor, say acknowledge. That's how the word multiplies. You know, we're talking about abundance of water. If you don't acknowledge the effect of the word, will not multiply in your life. No, they're talking about the word in Acts. They said the word grew mightily. The word will not grow mightily if the little the Lord has done, you don't acknowledge it. So you must wake up in the morning and thank the Lord and say, God, thank you for the light I am hearing. Thank you for the changes that you are making in my soul. Thank you for the things that you are still going to do. You must acknowledge. You must deliberately do it. That's one of the ways we bear fruit this year. When Jesus was going to multiply fish and bread, you know what he did? He first said, what do you have? If they had said nothing, I'm sure they might not have been able to do anything. When God was going to use Moses to deliver the children of Israel, he asked him, what do you have in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, hey. So when God comes to me to what, you must be able to know what the word has done. He said, five loaves and two fishes is enough. And God multiplied it. Said, and he gave thanks. He didn't say, oh, even if the devil said, what with five loaves and two fishes? But that little that God has done, it is a beginning of miracle. Yeah. So, nothing much has done in my life. Just only that I know more Bible. Yes, it is part of it. Yeah. Say, acknowledge it. That is how it multiplies. So if you don't give, so thanksgiving is one of the things that allows the word to become more potent in our life. So you will see even the apostles, when they want to bring a church into another level, they will first acknowledge the things that the Lord has done. Said, having heard of your faith and love, said, we did not cease. They will give thanks. They will thank God. We heard this. How we give thanks to God. Then after thanksgiving, then they will now do what? Then they will now pray for the next allocation. So this year, you must fill your heart with thanksgiving. Tell neighbor, say thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So as the word is coming, you must consciously, every day when you wake up in the morning, even when you are feeling bad, you don't have money, you don't have, just give, say, God, thank you for the allocation of the word that you daily bless me with. Thank you for the things that the word is doing in my soul. The word has done this, the word has done this, the word has done this. Thank you, Jesus. You must consciously do it. Say consciously do it. Because Satan also consciously speaks to us and make us see things that has not happened. So that is how you say, basically, Lord, who teaches my hands to war? So that's one of the ways to war condemnation. Say thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
That's one of the ways to war on fruitfulness. You want to war on fruitfulness? Be full of thanks. So why we got that barren? Sing, all ye barren. Do barren sing? What do they do? They cry. But when you want to war barrenness, what do? You sing. You are full of thanksgiving. Those are instruments of fruitfulness. Those are instruments of multiplication. You look at yours, there is no food. You look into it, say, God, thank you. Gary Copeland, thank you. Some can't eat, but happy. Some are food, but can. Some people are in the hospital, they even have food, but they have to put a tube in their nose. You say, oh, God, thank you. It's only one Gary we have, but we thank God that, Lord, my body is well. They're not using tube to feed me. When you do that, you know what? You are shaming the devil.
Yeah.
You are opening doors for miracles.
Yeah.
So thanksgiving is one of the weapons you must have. You must have it plenty. You want to come to church, you don't have money. Say, you see your life? You don't even have 1,000 naira for transport. Say, God, thank you for my legs, for I am not lame. I can walk.
Hallelujah.
Say thanksgiving.
So
you must be full of thanks and say, God, thank you for sparing my, for me to be alive, to even hear this. See me, you could buy soul, you were saved. You should thank the Lord. Say thanksgiving. So acknowledging every good thing. That is how the word grows. That is how we come into fruitfulness. That is how we. No, mama, God hates my money. Tell them, say, God hates my money. You know one of the reasons why people did not enter the promised land? It is that there always be Satan's tactics. Murmuring. Complaining. This year, God will take more money and complaining from our household. Our household will be household of thanksgiving. You must eat that thing that murmurs. You know, the Satan is so bad. God will do one blessing for you. And then you thank God you have done this, you are giving this job. Then once you start the job, like this job is stressing me. The one life, you are forgotten the days you do not have a job. Now you're asking God for a job. Now job has come. This job is not stressing me. It's not even allowing me to read my Bible. It's not allowing me to pray. It's not like Satan. Don't say, God, thank you. You provided this job. You will grant me the wisdom to manage this job. Even I had to tell myself that thing. No, listen, I started feeling so overwhelmed. And looking at the things I have in front of me, I was like, hey, this one life. I'm going to say, stop. I should remove it. Say or no, don't say full of thanksgiving. What you should ask for is wisdom to navigate it. Say thanksgiving.
Yeah.
must be full of what? Thanksgiving. That is your weapon. Once Satan brings discouragement like this, you shoot. Thanksgiving. Finish. Say Thanksgiving. He must be full of Thanksgiving. Yeah, to give thanks is what? Divine. Even Jesus gave thanks. You see Jesus, when they brought, said, oh, thank you, we thank the Lord. In insufficiency, they said, when they described, you know, it was two times that Jesus did that miracle. He did it in Matthew 13, I think in Matthew 14 or 15. He did that miracle twice. And it was the same principle. Once they bring those things to him, he will give thanks. And then he said they should break it and the thing begins to multiply. Imagine 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and they fed 5,000 men. Say Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving brings you into abundance, brings you into multiplication, brings you into fruitfulness. Just thank God. What that in situation you're going might not be comfortable, but there's still a way. There's still what's the English now? There is still room for what? Thanksgiving. There's always room for Thanksgiving. Tell them, I say, there's always room for Thanksgiving. No matter the situation. Then the next thing I want us to do, apart from honor, from valuing the word, valuing those things that God is, the second thing is communion. Say communion. So one of the ways to sustain the things that God is bringing to us is communion. Say communion. Communion with the Lord. So this year, you see, I thought my pastor said, I'm so concerned. I said, one of the reasons why people are hearing the word and they are not changing is because people don't have a strong communion life with the Lord. So if you have a strong communion life with the Lord, it settles many things in the spirit for you. So it's one of the things that we must take time to cultivate this year. Say cultivate this year. No, is that if you want to become friend with someone, how can you become someone's friend if you don't give that person time? Personal time. I'm not saying, oh, you say you want to know me now, you now come to fans me in general. No, when we come to church, we are fancying the way. Fancying, sorry, I'm just using that word, general. So when you now get home, there's now a personal transaction with the Lord. A time of communion. A very time where you are with God alone. It is not a cake. Tell neighbor, say it's not a cake. All those devotion, having a time with the Lord, a time where you pray, where you worship, where you study. It is not a keko. It cannot replace coming to meetings, to the assembly of the church. That one has its role. But you see that communion also, very important. Tell your neighbor, say very important. That's one of the places where you develop your senses to hear God. In the place of communion, your devotion with the Lord. And it is a, tell your neighbor, say it is a daily thing. It's one of the things God told them. No manna. Manna will fall every day. Either you like it or not. So God has his own parts to play. He provides the manna on a daily basis. And he said, you don't be blessed their provision. So God will always make provision. But you know that if the manna comes and you sleep in your room, you don't go out to collect the thing. You don't go chop that day. So God providing daily, loading us with benefits. Benefits are there daily. But it is now, the onus is now on you to go and partake of it. And so part of partaking of this is coming from it is another one is communion. Say communion. Communion. Communion with the Lord. Fellowshipping with the Lord. Having a time with the Lord. So all those things that you come in meeting together, all the word that you're writing, you're jotting all of those things. When you now go back home in the morning, you open those words. You know when they are preaching like that, there are certain things God will be telling you that is important. Right there. Now when you now go home the following day in the morning, maybe in the morning, I don't know why you do your communion, maybe the night or in the morning, you now sit down with those things and then you commune with the Lord in those things. You fellowship with those words. You read scriptures. You pray those things. You wait on those words. As you do that, we see the voice of the Lord become stronger. So many believers cannot even hear God's voice. How would you want to hear it when you don't spend time with him? So you use those words. You those things that you read. You read the Bible. You know, same as I said, recently I've been reading Matthew since December. I've just been fellowshipping with the New Testament, just starting from the beginning, and just reading it. I was saying, I said, the life of Jesus is so beautiful. so that I'm just seeing Jesus in a different way. Just seeing his life. It looks like a story, but you know it is his life. Just reading those things from Matthew chapter 1 and just going through it is like somebody just intimating me about his life. And I see him so beautiful. So take time to... So tell the boss, reading the scripture is not a cake. So not just only listening to messages. No, I'm not saying just only listening to messages. But it's also often time where you read the scriptures and you meditate. You see, you can hear all the word. Come for me. See, if this communion place is not there, you are still going to be weak. You have to go back and pro it. It is the place of your personal process. You know that manna, when you gather the manna, you can use that manna to do pancake. You can use it to do cake. You can use it to do bread. Yes, that is what communion is. It is the communion that you now take all those things and then you begin to process them. You process them by studying. You process them by meditating. You process them by praying. Amen. Amen. So this year, you must have a time that you dedicate for what? Communion. Say communion. For communion with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, devotion to the Lord. Amen. I want to say that is the way, place where you process. Say, give us this day our daily bread. You must go and pick manna every day. Tell neighbor, say, pick manna every day. And then you take it back and process it. And your communion must, I wrote certain basic things, our communion must have three things. Worship, word, and prayer. Tell neighbor, say, worship. Word and prayer. Can divide it into those three. Worship, and I will start with worship. It is very important. You will see that when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. You know, say they did not start by just asking, give us this day our daily bread. The first word they started with was what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is worship. So worshiping God, when you, because some of you, when you just pray, that's how you just start. You must start. You know, the disciples had to ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. So there is a manner in which we even do communion. One of the things is worship. Say worship. It says that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's why I said when you wake up in the morning, I want to do communion. First thing you should start with is thanking the Lord. You thank him. You worship him. You worship him for who he is. You thank the Lord. When you develop worship, sometimes many times in the place of worship, you will see God begin to roll so many things out. Personally, you begin to see God speak to you on so many things, bring about so many things that you do worship. So you must have time to worship. So worship session is not only when you come to church and brother is leading you worship. You must have a time during your devotion that you spend time. If it is, depending on the number of hours you want, you do your devotion, your communion. How many you must divide the time where all you do purely is to worship the Lord. You sing to him. You thank him for the things he's doing. You see him in the beauty of his holiness for who he is. You exalt him. You magnify him. You just love him. He's so beautiful before you. You know, you make every of your struggles and your problems fade away and you just focus on him. That is how to do communion. Amen. Can you read some scriptures? Let's look at Matthew 15, 22 to 26. And I found out reading the scriptures, I may not be able to go through all of those things. You will see Jesus many times. People will come to him, the one miracle. He will not respond. There was a party. I don't know if it is this Matthew 15. Yes. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Verse 23. But he answered her, not a word. And the disciple came and heard him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. The man kept doing that. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and what? Worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said. So the Lord, actually, that was when the Lord answered her. Initially, when she came and she was crying, hey, another is the one says, baby. God did not even do as if he saw her. But once she answered, at least God gave her an answer that she now knew what the next thing to do. God answered her and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their mouth. But initially, he didn't even know what was on. God did not even give her any answer until he did what? He worshipped. So one of the things worship, that's why we do worship. One thing worship does is that it opens heavens. He grants you access into the heart of God. He just cleansed your window. I call it like a windscreen. You know, when everything is bloody, he just cleansed the thing and makes it clear. And then God can speak express. That's why we do worship. Why do we do worship before the word? It's just to open hearts. It's to prepare the heart to be able to receive what the Lord wants to do. So you must have worship. So worship is it's one of the reasons why you don't, why you come to church, they are telling you to worship. It's because you don't have a life of, if there's anything called life of worship, you don't have a routine of worship before. If you have a routine of worship, when they are doing worship, you will naturally, because the worship is beautiful. Tell anybody, say worship is beautiful. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. It is beautiful. It is so sweet. It is you just lost in the ecstasy of God's beauty and his greatness. The same thing with another leper. I've forgotten that scripture. That leper also came. And he said, and the leper came and worshipped God. Let's quickly look at that scripture. Matthew 8, I think verse 2 to 3. Matthew 8. And behold, the leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and taught him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately what? His leprosy was clean. Say, worship. So we must worship. We must make it an attitude. Make an attitude. So don't just enter in the morning. Just say, hey, Lord, light, give me light. Oh, it is the year of ascension. This year I must ascend. Oh, ascend. No. See, there are protocols in the spirit. So you worship the Lord. Then when you worship, you can now, whatever, that word, that prayer, whatever, you now bring it to God. Amen. Since worship, then the word. So we talked about worship. Another thing is the word. So during your devotion, you must have a time where the things that you have received. So let's say today now you've heard the word. In the meeting now you've jotted some things down. And it is good to come to church with jotter. Tell your neighbor, say it's good to come to church with jotter. Not for no. I say jotter and write it down. You know, we thought they say write the vision down. Make it plain. So you write it down. The ones that are instruction, you put them in capital letter. When pastor was preaching, God, pastor said, and the Holy Spirit will convince you, go and submit to your boss at work. Write it in capital letter. Say, make it. That is the making it plain. Oh, bold dada. So that tomorrow morning, you know, by the time you farms today, now, hey, sister Jaja, hey, yeah, picture. You do everything. You don't forget. But tomorrow morning, when you are doing your devotion, after you do your worship, you bring out your book and you look at all those things you wrote down. And then you pray them. That's one of the ways, that's one of the things. And then you pray them. Those things that God spoke to you during the meeting, you write them down. Apart from writing stuff down, there will be instructions. You put it there. Things you want to pray about the following day, you put them down. Hop, make it play. Barred by Olofuma, underline any. You make it play. Don't do like the Son of God. Even Moses, when they gave him 10 commandments, they said you should write it on tablet of stone. They did not say that you will remember. So who are you? Because some of us just come. My heart is the tablet of the Lord, and the Lord is writing it to you. You are just being foolish. Because you can easily forget. So you write those things down. You make it plain. Then you see, Jesus told Moses, he said, you should write those. Why did you think Jesus told him to write it down? He could have mixed it up or forgotten one sentence or something there. So when you're on that meeting like this, you should have jotter. It is part of your attitude that you want to hear from God. You know, you are already anticipating that God will speak to you. And then you write it down. You write it down. You make it plain. This is what God said. This is the instruction. For me, I receive a whole lot of instruction during preaching. So I write them down. I mark them. There are times I go back over those instructions. I go and check them. So you must write those things down. You make it plain. So you take those words and then you process them. You go over them. You pray them. You pray. Then you can do your study in the light of those. Or maybe you check some of those scriptures and all that. That has to do with the word that you heard. You can do transcript if you have enough time. You can do transcript. You know, your jotter is a very good one to give you a summary of everything you learned in church. So you write down, you go through those jottings. If you have enough time, you can do transcript. If you have plenty of time, maybe you are still in a waiting period, you can listen to the whole message. But don't hear one message one day and then 1 week has gone. You have not gone back over it. That is not making use of the resources that the Lord has given you. So that's one of the ways to develop strong communion with the Lord. And let me say this. You see, the way God works, God knows us so. How many of you know that God knows us? How many of you come to church, you had questions in your heart, I cannot even tell you, the friend in your room, and the pastor is preaching, and God addresses it. He should let you know that God knows us. So many times, God even fashion messages based on our needs. You see, that was yesterday. When I did not see people in church, I was a bit afraid, because I know that that meeting yesterday, there were specific things that God wanted to communicate to us. I knew there was a prophetic thing about it. It was not just we wanted to just do KBN. It was because of a specific need that the Lord saw and the Lord wanted to address. So that's why you should not be playing with meetings. I'm just saying, it's just another meeting. He brings clarity. For someone like me, there are certain things that I wasn't sure about yesterday. Once I came here today, it was as if, and I've been praying, it was as if my heavens just opened. And I just said those things, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. It was so clear. So what I'm trying to say that messages that comes at times, God knows us. He's our shepherd. He knows every soul. So many times God will fashion a particular message for you based on your needs. It's just like when my children were growing up and they were just growing up, there was a time that I had to give, because based on their needs then they were growing, they were just bringing out seeds. I had to change their food to have more calcium. Because I know that they needed, at that particular stage of their growing, they needed a whole lot of that for their bones to be strong so that they don't have bow leg, so that their teeth will be well formed. You know, I was particular about certain drugs that I did not give them when they were growing teeth because it would just thin their teeth. It could affect their growth. There are some drugs that if you give a child a certain age, it arrests their growth. So I was particular about that. So they were specific. So sometimes God has specific, some of the messages where they are very specific. So if you now say, you are just missing the nutrients that the Lord has targeted to address some of the things in your life. Yeah, because sometimes you despise the messages coming from the house. You prefer to go and hear something different or go and listen to certain songs that are different. You know, one of the ways I will know if I'm following, I want to even see the songs on your phone. You are listening to something else. You don't say you should not listen to it sometimes. So when I'm doing gym, we listen to it. But you know you are doing communion in the morning. That's the only thing you are doing. All the songs that, you know, that most of the songs that God that were written in the house, they were inspired. Some of those songs were inspired based on remember when Break to the Right, Time Break to the Right. I know that song was sent from God. For about 1 month, that was my song every morning. When I'm doing devotion, I play it and I pray. I play it every day and I pray. Because I know that song, God, it was the word for that season, for us to come into fruitfulness. So that's what I'm not using for devotion at that time. I'm just missing the things that, you know, sometimes I'm just telling you how we sometimes miss on the allocations that God has given us, and we just waste resources in the spirit, and we are not coming into fruitfulness. So imagine my children when they were growing, and I was giving them food that were rich in calcium. Now imagine my children, and I said, "No, I don't want that food, though. It is this kind of food that I like." They don't know that food was fashioned for their need at that time. That's how we do at times. God will fashion certain things for us. Some of you needed that career message yesterday in your life, but you don't see it as important. Now you come out to one breakthrough, every new word will work. When they said something to you, you did not see it as if, you did not know that then that you had career. So it's not 5 years. When you see other people doing career, say, "I don't know what is happening to me. It's like my life is just the same." They send the nutrients. You did not take it. So say, "God will give us wisdom." God will give us wisdom. We will not allow devil to teach it. You know, there's another thing for God to provide resources. There's another thing for us to be wise. Wiser than our enemy. It's the same taxes. They should know that you joke, they can't when you grow. If you hear the word, don't use it. So for example, now I've asked to say, "God, how can there's a whole lot coming. How can we trap these things?" You know, in the children of Israel, God gave them wisdom. Well, now not to forget the laws by their clothing. They will tie those things. He made tassels for them. The reason why he made those tassels was what? So that they will not forget the laws. He would rather tell them to write it on their laws, on their door, on their other things. God gave them so that they can constantly see those things. So I've been asking God, I said, what is the wisdom not to be a forgetful era? God, it's easy for you. Sometimes I open my daughter and I see certain things. I say, so God said this thing to me. Within 1 year, I don't forget. God will help us. Amen. So the word, we must pay attention to the word. The word that is coming, we must process it. So when you hear word on Sunday, by Monday, you should have processed it. The one you hear on Tuesday, by Wednesday, do what? Process it. The one you hear on Thursday, on Friday, do what? Process it. Don't just put it on the shelf and make it get rotten. And forget. Amen. Then we have a place of studying. 2 Timothy 2:15. So you must have study time. When do you want to study the word? 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly word, dividing the word. And that takes me to the word. See, for you to present yourself approved to God, you cannot be a lazy person. Can you see, he said? Be diligent. Give me that one. That's what I want. Be diligent. To present yourself, what? So approval before God takes diligence. Say diligence. So if you're a lazy person, you cannot come before approval. Why won't you be able to come into approval? Let's look at it. We quickly walk through these scriptures. Proverbs 12:27. We just read those scriptures. The lazy man does not roast what he took in what? Hunting. You don't come short. You don't hear a message. No processor. But diligence is what? Diligence is what? But diligence is man's precious what? Possession. So a lazy man, we go and hunt, went to hunt, and did not do what? Did not. So you come to church, all these things you heard, you did not pray about them, you did not study, you did not meditate, you are a lazy bone. Laziness is what will not make you process those things. Because for you to process those things, that means that you have to wake up early. Or you must have to create time to do those things. Let's just go through those scriptures. Proverbs 22, verse 13 to 15. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Gives excuses. It is not easy. I have to get to work. All those lions outside. I have to get to work by whatever. I cannot do communion. I don't have time to commune with God. But if you calculate all the times you spend on your phone doing WhatsApp update, TikTok, Instagram, all those, it's more than 1 hour in a day. The lazy man says, so when you give excuses for investing in the things that will make you process the things you have heard, you are a lazy person. Laziness is part of it. Let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 14. This one, when I read the text, I said, hey, holy wow. Proverbs 26, verse 14. As a dog turns on his hinges, so does the lazy man what? You set alarm. Oh God, this year, 4 a.m., I shall be having communion with you. Therefore, this evening, I just turn by. Come. Then I turn to this side. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to do what? Bring it back to his mouth. So you have come to church, you have heard all the word. That's, you already dip your hand in the bowl. Now take your hand to now put it in your mouth. It's to now process it. It's now what? Again. So when you set alarm and you don't wake up, even I have to tell myself this. Say, hey, lazy bone. You now put it off, man. Oh, remedy, 30 minutes time. Now turn the others. I know it's true. Every time you put off the alarm, you don't go back to the same side. You don't even. Sincerely, if I put on the alarm like this, when I put it off like this, and I don't stand up to pray, when I want to, I usually turn the other way around. Proverbs 18:19. We're rounding up now. Proverbs 18:19. A brother, this is not what I want. Okay, let's read Proverbs 12:11. He who tills his land will be what? Satisfied with bread. But he who follows frivolity is what? Devoid of understanding. So you must till your land. Say, till your land. So communion is one of the ways of what? Tilling your land. You must pay, this year, we must pay more earnest heed to the things that what we have heard. We must, all the things that we have heard about also. You know, I was so shocked. Some of you know those things we wrote about also. We are talking about bread and life. You know, it's not easy to just enter into bread and life. But we wrote some things. Some of you have not done those things. Ordinary meeting, to even do meeting, you're not done. You are still in your house. You don't know how much all of you are earning. All the meetings, they say you should do everything. You do not do it. You are speaking in tongues. You are deceiving yourself. You will not do any bread in life. All those things, you need to sit down. Now, I'm just telling you some of the things we do. That is taking the raw, that's taking the meat and not doing what? Processing it. So this year, apart from communion, under communion, we talk about worship, word, and prayer. Another thing you must take serious is brethren life. Say brethren life. Brethren. Let me tell you, brethren life is the passport to inheritance. You know the answer? He said, give you a word of God that's able to build you up and what? Give an inheritance what? Not on your own. It is among those that are sanctified. So he said it is among. So that's why brethren life is the condition. Yeah, that is where they will process it. So you must sit down to see how this brethren life that they are even talking about. How do I want? Don't just hear something and just think you already know. Sit down and say, okay, how can I improve in my relationship with my brethren? How can I be more particular about my brethren? Okay, on before I don't used to send brethren. Now on Tuesdays, I want to be praying for my brethren. And then you pray for your brethren. Now, I don't used to send people. If I have money, I just spend it on myself. Now, this is the money I spend on myself for snacks. Now, it's 5,000 naira. Let me start by giving them a tithe. 500 naira. Use it to buy something for brethren. I'm not saying that is how it applies to you. I'm talking about practical ways of working in that. Don't just hear truth and just feel that the team will just jump on you. Can't jump. You have to do for practical. Okay, this I have this issue. How can I work better? How can I improve? How can I, in my love work towards my brother, how can I remove? What can I do? Apart from praying, what else can I do? Okay, this is my sister. Okay, maybe me, I'm not started working. When she's going to work, I'm the one that's supposed to cook in the morning. But because I'm not going to work, I can wake up anytime and cook. But now, I want to do charity. Even though I'm not going to work, I'll wake up early and cook for both of us. Those are practical ways. So don't just hear truth and don't say, my husband, I'm not submitting to my husband. They said we should submit. Okay, I've heard. How can you improve submission? Before if my husband talks, I will reply. Now, let me be doing this small. As I'm talking about practical ways, before they said we should love our wives, how practically can I love my wife? Wow. Apart from saying baby, 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 it's not just my baby. Yeah. On Sunday evening, when she's preparing for the following day, maybe I should be helping her wash the children's bottle. Maybe I should help her do this. Look for practical things. And then you, how will I put it? You keep at those things. Say brethren life. Bread, life. Another thing I want to say, in closing, don't take brethren's life for granted. The fact that you have access into people's life doesn't mean you should take them for granted. Amen. You have access, but that access must be used well. Amen. Don't gossip about your brethren. Yes, what you cannot say in front of your brethren, don't go and be saying, now form carcass and you're discussing it. Because you know that your brethren has money. And we share everything in common. So when you now go to the market, you know that if you go inside Bodija, all of you are contributing money. I know that in household now, people that earn more, they contribute more. You that you're not earning, you just leave what you are. So you are not the one going to the market. Since your money is just tashered there, when I want to buy something, you go to a food co. And I say, give me tomato paste. I know that if you go inside Bodija, you will see it cheaper, but because it's not your money, it's okay. That's taken for granted. So we must also not take, if you do that, we not grow. Yes. What did I say? It's not that you don't only grow, you will not have God's blessing. Let me tell you something. the most difficult people to offend is brethren. You know the reason why Moses did not enter Promised Land? Children of Israel, brethren. They can stop you. What did I say? Just like a wife can stop her husband's prayer from being answered, brethren can stop your, can stop, can block your access into the spirit. So you must be careful how you treat the brethren. You must treat them with honor. Even when they don't, not like brothers and sisters, even when they don't do well, you must be careful. You must not cheat them. You know, if you cheat brethren, they may not be able to fight back. You know who will fight you? Satan and God. Two enemies. You know, if Satan alone is fighting you, God can. But imagine Satan, God is against you, is resisting you. Satan, no, default setting. Satan is always resisting you. So it's now two resistors. You don't finish. Say, don't finish. Maybe not finish this year. So love the brethren, serve the brethren. So look for a way that how can I prosper in my love work with the brethren, and keep at it. I will do this for my brethren. I will do this for my brethren. I will do that for my brethren. The Lord will help us. Can we just rise up on our feet and receive grace this morning, and ask the Lord to help us, especially in the place of communion, the all those things that we would honor the word, our hearts will be full of thanksgiving. We will give attention to the word. We will give attention to prayer. We will give attention to all these things.
Can we pray as mommy has instructed us? Let's pray and receive a supply of the spirit. Please pray for yourself. Can you pray for a heart that is yielding? Pray for a yielding heart. Pray for yourself. That your heart would yield sufficiently to the instructions of the Spirit, instructions of life that are coming forth through the teaching of the Word, that will be wise this year, will be instructed this year, will be people of the Word, will be people given to understanding. We are going to submit our lives to the authority of God's Word. Come on, pray for yourself. Where you need grace, don't look at me, pray. Say, God, I receive grace right now. Your word has been spoken. I draw grace by faith that this area of my life will change. The Lord, I will get more discipline, more studious. I will get better in my communion. Lord, I receive grace to make drastic changes in my daily life, my decision-making processes, everything about my day, I present before you. Lord, I receive grace. I receive grace. I receive grace. Karamokodaya. Can we begin to thank the Lord? Let's just thank Him. In Jesus' name we are praying. Can we appreciate mommy? Thank you, sweetheart. We can have our seats. That was too powerful. You have to just love. Can we appreciate her once again? You have to just love her. You have to love her. If you want to do well, you have to love this. This grace is too good. As I sat down, I was just thinking. I said, this is how to build. You know, and I don't take such teachings. I don't take mommy's teachings lightly. I don't take her teachings lightly. She helps you to build. So this is another dimension of the apostolic. You know, at times you say something is pastoral. It's apostolic. Apostles are pastors. That's what people don't know. There's a shepherdic function of the apostolic when it begins to point out. That's why you see epistles. There are certain aspects of epistles, instruction that is there. Eh? Particularly Paul. I have to say this. Particularly the epistles of Paul. And I think the reason why it's like that, not because Paul has an advantage over the other apostles, because Paul is a church planter. So Paul will talk, he will enter marriage. Paul will talk, he will enter brethren life. Paul will talk, he will enter how you are working, your relationship with your boss. You sure you understand? Very vital. So that we'll not be chopping knowledge on the head. You just have big head. If I say you should describe everlasting doctrines, you can talk living God and true God. But there's no communion, sir. You cannot live. If you don't have communion, sir, you can't live. Yeah, you can't become true. Holy true, sir. So that I don't play. Even me, I have to know some things again. things to go and strengthen. Because those are the that is how you build. If not, we'll be leaking understanding. Like you receive truth. My wife asked me, okay, how do we do? Okay, Tuesday, there's a kind of teaching on Tuesday. You know, when we started Shofar, we just opened like three doors of truth, and or four self. And someone said, this is too much. It's not too much. When you went to university, how many courses were you doing? Did you fail? If you fail, you didn't do well. You do carry over. You know, when I got to trial level, all our courses, you know, I did pure and applied chemistry. All our courses were CHM. And it's not the same course. Like 10 courses. CHM this, CHM that, CHM this. EAT, quantum chemistry, processing, food chemistry, everything on chemistry. That is how it is. So when we are teaching brethren life, it's an aspect of the world. When we narrow it down to marriage, the one we did yesterday is not lesser. That's now applying doctrine to your business and career life. How to be able to use the wisdom of God. So that is how it is. So when you are not an attentive person, number one, I'm saying this because you have to improve. You must not forsake the assembly of brethren. It's not good. Because what you are doing is that you are stabbing lectures. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When you stab lectures, you know what it means to stab lectures. You know, if you have a good professor, attendance is part of... Some of you say, I'm attending the spirit. Now, the only way streaming is permitted is if you cannot be physically available. And we understand that. And you are available online. But some people, they are... Nothing do demo. They say, I want to stream. So if that kind of streaming, you will sleep. You understand what I'm talking about? You will just be sleeping. You'll be streaming and sleeping. You'll not be blessed. Don't allow the enemy to take advantage over you. So even forsaking the assembly of one another is not wise. Because there are certain attitudes of the spirit you'll be missing. Certain impartations of the spirit you'll be missing. And they'll show up. Then the place of personal communion is like pitching your tent. Pitching your hack for it not to leak. You can build, but what you are receiving, there's nothing to retain it. So how will you, for instance, you are not stronger than your time of communion. You are strong as your communion time. You are not strong based on the revelation of your assembly. You are not strong based on the light that you are receiving. That's not your strength. Your strength, like mommy said, is when you receive it, you now go back and process it. Do the instruction, then your strength comes forward. So, quiet time is not a cake. What did I say? He says it's a cake. The fathers have been doing it. They don't know as much as you know. They are stronger than you. That's how you know that it's not a cake. So, whatever you call it, quiet time is still very valid. The time where you wait upon the Lord, like mommy has taught us, worship, word, prayer. Worship, word, prayer. And honestly, I won't lie to you. We have an advantage. The advantage is that there is supply of doctrine already. There's understanding. So your Bible study is around what you are teaching. It's not hard at all. During my own time growing up as a Christian, it was hard. You have to do personal Bible study and there's no direction. So what we did then was topical Bible study. And the Lord just showed mercy. And later, because of hunger, led us into pastures of light. So but now, you just have so much. You can study on Tuesday teaching alone. Study on Thursday teaching alone. There's so many things. You already have things to study upon. I do study. See, my wife knows. I get jotter for house. This one is mobile jotter. I have stationary jotter. And it's not small, it's big. I have it. My food is inside. When I want to eat, I just need to open my jotter. So, in fact, I feed you from what I eat. That's how it works. So everybody must have a robust devotional life. The onus will not be on you that you're in an environment where so much understanding is coming, because I can say it under God, that there's food to eat. But it's one thing for the food to eat, it's another thing to eat it. or you are wasting it. You know, at times when attitude is different, you can have food and appreciate food and eat. You can have food and then you don't appreciate it, sir. So please, then again, mommy said some things I just felt I needed to dot on a little bit. When she was talking about certain attitudes, diseases of the soul. The issue is not the diseases you have. The issue is your willingness to allow it to go. So number one, and you not even identify that you are sick until the word has shown on you. You will have to even listen to the word to a point where they will have to now x-ray that thing. And that is where the issue is with some of us. Before you now agree that this thing is an infirmity. Yes. So when you're not even giving to the word, how will you know? Then after that, then the willingness. I think at times God rewards a willing heart. I can be weak, but I am willing. Then God says, okay, I will help you. I will strengthen you. But I am willing. The problem is when I am not willing. So when you notice that you are not willing to do the word, you start praying. That's when you start praying for mercy. Like now, so you know the standard of God, but you are not willing. I'm not hearing a confirmation. Am I getting any confirmation? So that is when you now begin to pray for, say, God, help my heart. Yes, because it means that your heart is not willing. And that is what happens in an environment of truth. I was saying this, sharing with the brethren in the household. I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says that they were all baptized into they had the same spiritual meat. They had the same spiritual drink. So in that company, the problem was not what they ate or drank. It was Christ they had. They had Christ, they drank Christ. So the food was available. But the Bible says that, but with many, not some. Are you with me? Nobody is answering me. I said, are you with me? He says, with many of them, God was not what? God was not well pleased. So it means that my attitude and my response to the world is actually the what determines if God is pleased with me or not. So these are where we have to watch it. So, and I used to know that at times some people are more potent than the others. Some may not even. So it's possible. Now I'm not saying it's wisdom to miss meetings. However, someone may just come for one meeting and is doing better than you. The reason, not because coming for one meeting is good, but because the person is willing to do that one meeting thought that comes to the person. Than for you to be playing around the community. That one is more terrible. And we need to fear that. And we need to refrain from such attitudes. The next thing I want to say is not being transparent. Not being truthful. I say this because as a pastor, and I'm saying this as your father in the house. Yes, sir. Please, I beg you. Trying to hide something from us is to your disadvantage. Like, you know, you want help. You are relating with Pastor Friday and then you are hiding something from me. You think you are wise. You are not wise, though. You may dodge Pastor Friday, but you cannot dodge Satan. You cannot dodge the enemy. I'm thinking that it's better for me to be plain. If I need to be corrected, I will be corrected. You know, we did a teaching last year on correction. That is not an archaic teaching. It's a teaching that is not common in this generation. And I think we need to teach it more. Because correction is good for the soul. Amen. We cannot be talking about the Father. This Father, everlasting life, is not vocabulary. It is the dealing of the Father. The Father is more detailed. He is a thorough being. The Father is a thorough being. And if you are dealing with the Father will correct us. The Father will chastise us. So I think it's better for me to be corrected and chastised and for my soul to be saved. Right? For me, or to keep darkness. Or I assume something. No, I think let's open it up. If I'm corrected, I take the correction in good faith and I walk in myself. Even if you think that somebody will correct you wrongly, wrong correction will still save your soul. That's just the truth. It's going to make you more meek. Meekness is an advantage for that soul. Have you ever thought about it that somebody is trying to oppress you, so you want to fight the person back? Let the person oppress you. Use that oppression of the person to learn how to endure people. There's nothing that can floor meekness. Sure, you need to know. Sure, you need to have. You understand? There's nothing that can floor meekness. You just learn meekness and grow and get authority. I think the Bible says, God, what? How did he put it? 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. So if that process will make God exalt me in the future, then it doesn't matter how it comes.
Very true, sir.
Some of the reason why some people don't subject themselves to brethren life, they think it's humiliating. In the sense that somebody will now be talking to me, and you told me, I'm a sorrow. Sir, you have made yourself too important than you are. There's nobody that is more important than inheritance. Even as pastors, we also subject ourselves to brethren life. Because when you do brethren life with brethren, you learn humility. You learn patience. You learn to long suffer with brethren. There are some decisions you want to make, you cannot make it. Because you have to what? You have to consider their pitiful state. I'm talking about conversations.
Yes, sir.
So brethren life says everybody. So these instructions, I want us to pay attention to them. What mommy gave us today was blueprint to grow.
Yeah.
I am telling you. If you want to grow this year, just go and sit down with this message and do exactly what you are told. It's a workshop, it's building, it's instruction to grow. This is how to grow. Growing is not by so many things.
Yes,
ma'am. I'm sure that we are going to amplify some of them because I'm just thinking that the next Bible study says we should just focus on this issue of personal devotion and communion. Because I think it's a challenge to this generation. It's just a challenge. Somebody can even be hearing message. It's not hearing message well. That's another thing. How do you hear message? Somebody is own boy message you get here. All manner of things. You are hearing message, you are doing a million and one thing. You understand? You are doing a million and one thing, you are not concentrating. If you're going to hear a message first hand, this is what I do. If I'm going to hear a message first hand, I sit down with my jotter. If I am washing and I'm hearing message, it means I've heard it first hand. What does it mean that I've heard that message first? I've heard it and I've written the message down in my words. My wife can bear witness. I've written the message in my words. Because you can get transcription. I'm listening to the message. I'm processing it and writing down the processed version because that is what I will fellowship with continually. If I need transcript, I go and get the transcript of the message. And that one is, that's my own food. Very important. Now, if I now listen to the message again, I can now listen to message maybe mobile. I'm in the car. I'm now listening to the message, washing. So that is to strengthen what I previously listened to. You can't be wasting your time. Sir. You don't have all the time. So you have not listened to a message at all. Or when you were listening to it, you knew that you are not totally attentive. And then what are you doing? You just listen to the message. You are using message to sweep. It's not message they use to sweep. You can use song to sweep. Amen. You can be using song to sweep. But when it comes to message, please pay attention. The reason is because instructions are coming out. Understanding is coming out. Things that can change your soul is coming out. Amen. How are you going to pay attention to them? All right? So these are things. So let's work with this, okay? If you can work with this, then finally you address laziness. All of us are lazy one way or the other. So it's not like, because this message, there's also an aspect I took. That's, in this area, I'm lazy. All of us are lazy somewhere, but you should not know your own personal laziness. And now go and address it. Now know that this, okay, when it comes to praying, I should have fixed time of prayer. What did I say we should have? So you can go today, like, for every day, write down what you'll be praying for. So I say, I don't even know what to pray. That's why I don't pray. So now I'm giving you formula so that, because there should be something to pray for. many things to pray for. You can work one day, you pray for your pastors. That's like enough. At least you pray for 1 hour. By the time you pray for me, pray for mommy, pray for Pastor GP, Pastor CG, Pastor Friday, and all the pastors. At least you will pray for 1 hour. You can't rush that in 5 minutes. I pray for daddy, I pray for mommy, I pray for Pastor GP. At least you will pray 1 hour. I've given you one prayer. Then you look for times you pray for your brethren. The ones that are living close to you or randomly, the other ones the Lord lays you on your heart. By the time you do that, that's another prayer for another day. At times you lift up your voice, you pray. You pray for Nigeria. So there is no way you can exhaust prayer. If I, the way I find it, by the time a week goes, I've not even prayed all the prayer I think I should pray. So there is no excuse not to pray. So today, as I'm talking, if you have a problem with prayer, go and do a prayer timetable. What did I say you should do? I will ask you again. Go and do what? A prayer timetable. Have what you pray for every day. If you are married, you should pray for your spouse. And you should do it consistently. You are complaining. You are complaining. You are swearing. We are called that swearing. I don't swear long. You have complained about your spouse. You are not changing. You are not this. Why are you like this? Have you prayed? Why are you like this? How many hours have you prayed for your spouse? This is the truth now. How many hours have you prayed? Have you prayed for your husband? Have you prayed for your spouse? Your wife? Have you prayed for your children? So there's a day. What I do is I pray for mommy. I pray for my children. I pray for brethren in my house. There's a day I do that one. Every week. Week in, week out. There's another day I pray for everybody in church. Week in, week out. I pray for my pastors. Week in, week out. I pray for my own spiritual parents. Week in, week out. I pray for ministers ministering across these waters. Pray for ministers in the body of Christ. There's something to pray about. You can't continue your life that way. Are we listening to this? When you have that, you already have what I call growth systems. There's no way you will not grow. You say, somebody is growing. These are the ogma that we are using to grow. What did I say it is? It's the ogma for growth. Hallelujah. And I used to play with some of you, but you don't have my ogma. I play with people. By the time I'm using all this, you are doing lots here. Later, I will now be playing. Just like some people, you'll be playing, but they will carry face. You must be wise. I remember when we were young, then I had friends down in our house. Okay? They were living with us as well. We'll play, but there were disciplines in the house, in my own house, so I used to read. So I'll come out first, they will come out last. So the parents would now be saying, Achebe John Sheredly. But there was a culture in our home that made us read. We revise what we did every day. So that preserved what you read. But they were not like that. So the difference between us is culture. What I am doing that we are not doing. But we can both be smiling together. We can both be kicking ball together. That's how bread and life is. Some people are growing. Some people are not. And we are sleeping in the same bed. If somebody is in your room, and he's not praying and he's dealing with you, leave that room. Go and see. I remember one time, one of my friends in school, he felt he was sleeping too much. He removed the phone. You have not seen it. He removed the phone. He removed phone. There was no phone again. He started sleeping on the floor, mat. So he said that when he sleeps on the mat, that he will remember to pray. You don't understand that, because maybe your bed is too comfortable. So people are not even sleeping in a comfortable bed. They are still sleeping. It should be a finished life. Bed, you're comfortable. What do they call it? Club? What is it? Bed bug is in your bed. You are still sleeping on the bed. I know at times so something will just bite you. Something bites you, some people just turn again. Something will bite you. You know that, ah, what bites me? And then you still turn. You just look at the bed. You just clear the thing again. You know, if it's an angel that moved that, the angel does it like this. Oh, God. You know that maybe the angel anointed that bug to bite you. Bites this guy. So we have to make progress. Yeah, this is February. It's a good time. Just make little bit of changes here and there. With what you learn today, you will find out that it's not too difficult. And finally, brethren, love your brethren, serve them. All right? You will find out that there is serving brethren, loving brethren is actually for you. You are going to be the one to reap the fruit of that reward. God, the Lord will help us this year. God bless you, Mommy. Thank you for blessing us.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.